We're in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and in just a moment we're going to stand and read that passage of Scripture. But we've just entered a new section in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 12 through chapter 15, it deals with practical Christian living. So far, Romans has told us the worldwide problem of sin. Then it showed us justification through faith in Christ and Christ alone. Then it showed us sanctification, the working of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. And then we just concluded last week in chapter 11, where we saw in chapters 9, 10, and 11, the Apostle Paul is speaking concerning the role of Israel in his overall plan of getting the gospel to the world. And we saw how that in the church age, God had put Israel on a back burner, if you will, and not many have been responding to faith in Christ. But when the fullness of the Gentiles is done, or the church age is over, and we're all raptured up here, out of here, and we're in heaven, then God is going to seal 12,000 Jews from every tribe, 144,000. An angel comes down with the everlasting gospel, and innumerable hosts of people, Gentiles, get saved through the preaching of these evangelists that God has sealed, that they cannot die until that gospel gets preached around the world. Then God takes the nation of Israel and puts them on the front burner after we're raptured out of here. Now, in light of all that, we are going to begin chapter 12, and we're spending our whole time on verses 1 and 2. And I am constantly amazed that the more we look at the Scripture, the more you see in the Scripture. I think I could preach a month-long series off of verses 1 and 2. But I am going to try to get all that preaching in my allotted time. Now, I may say I've never accomplished that. I said I would try. That's never really happened, but one day it will, and you'll all be saying, well, it's only 12. Why are we here? Why did he dismiss? Well, you won't have to look often, because that's going to be so rare that you won't know what it is. Anyway, God wants to speak to our hearts. As we look at practical Christian living, the Apostle Paul is going to begin in verses 1 and 2 with this subject, that God's children are to be a living sacrifice. We are to yield ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because not only does He want to save us, and not only does He want us to give us His perfect, what He's earned and salvation in heaven, but He wants to use us and flow through us for His glory here on planet Earth. And we'll see that all in verses 1 and 2. If you found that and you're able to stand, would you stand with us as we read those verses? You can follow along or see it on the monitor. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, if you've been a Christian for many years, that is probably some of the two verses you've memorized. And especially as a junior boy or girl going to Sunday school, or a teenager going to youth group, you learn to memorize Scripture. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 are certainly some of the best two verses in all of Scripture to memorize. this morning, our prayer is that the Holy Spirit will drive it home to all of our hearts afresh and anew. That God wants to use us. And God wants us to present our bodies for His service. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer and you may be seated. Father, how we want to say, first of all, we love You, Lord. That's why we assembled. We enjoy the singing, the preaching, other things, the fellowship. But Lord, it's because of You we showed up this morning. Lord, we want You to speak to our hearts from Your Word and by Your Spirit. Lord, there's so many areas of our life where we need You to work. Sometimes, Lord, we feel like we've failed You so many ways. But here we are this morning wanting the Spirit of God to do a work in our lives. Lord, as we walk out the doors this afternoon, we want to be different people because You've done a work through Your Word in our lives. Lord, I pray You'll bless marriages and individuals and couples. And Lord, we just need You. I want to thank You in advance that I know that Your Word will do its work. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So, Holy Spirit, we yield our lives to You and we ask You to give us exactly what we each need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. A living sacrifice. The basic rundown of these two verses, or overview, I should say, is give God your all. Our devotion, energy, and thoughts. That comes from verse 1. Our bodies are to be presented as His to use. Also verse 1. Do not be conformed to this world. Now that's not a suggestion, that's a command. And be not conformed to this world. And that's in verse 2. Constantly look for being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We are constantly looking to be transformed as we renew our mind. And, you know, try to get the mind of Christ in us. And then know that this transformation will prove the will of God to each and every one of God's children. And that again is in verse 2. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, we say, first of all, it's a life of dedication. In verse 1. And it starts off with, therefore, I beseech you, brethren. He starts out verse 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. The therefore. Now that means based on everything He said in the first 11 chapters. The fact that we were hopelessly lost without Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then to find out that we're saved not by our efforts, but by the work of Christ on Calvary. And that by faith in Christ we are justified just as if we'd never sinned. Our sins are forgiven and forgotten, and the very righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ rests in heaven on our account. We don't deserve that. That's why it's called grace. Unmerited favor. Something we don't deserve. Something we couldn't purchase. Something we couldn't earn. But He loved us so much that when we placed our faith in what Christ did for our salvation, His righteousness was placed on our account just as our sin was placed on Him when He died on Calvary for all of us. Then the Holy Spirit was working to sanctify us. Chapters 7 and 8. Shall we continue that grace may abound? God forbid. The Spirit of God wants to transform us. Praise God that we have a righteous account in heaven, but God is also working to transform our lives here on earth. Then in 9, 10, and 11, he talks about the nation of Israel. And now as he begins this section on practical Christian life, he's going to sum it all up in verse 2 and say, listen, it's all about giving who we are back to God, who owns us as His believers. A life of dedication based on our desperate need of Christ and because of what Christ did for us. The second thing we see is the presentation of our bodies. To present our bodies a living sacrifice. This last week, my wife and I had the occasion of going to a home of one of our members who just recently got into a new home. And on many different occasions, we've been called to go to the home and just have a prayer of dedication that God will use that home for His glory. Well, I think that's a wonderful thing to do. And so we are at this very nice home that God has blessed a family in our church. And while we were there, the wife, who's in attendance this morning, said about four times, "Now, Pastor, I want you to know that this house is you and Miss Vicky's house as much as it's our house." Now, I've never had anybody say that. But after four times, I thought, well, let's go get the dirty laundry, honey. Let's. It's our house, just like their house, so let's go. I don't exactly know what that meant, but I know exactly what it is saying. It is saying God has blessed us with this house. We want to use it for His glory. That's exactly what it's saying. And what this passage is saying, listen, God spared us from hell for all eternity. And because of that, we belong to Him, and He belongs to us. I love that song. Now I belong to Jesus, Jesus belongs to me, right? So, He belongs to me, and I belong to Him, and I am to present my body a living sacrifice. Lord, use me. It's like Isaiah that said, "Here am I, Lord, use me." And avail yourself to be used of God any way, anyhow He wants to. So a believer is to present his body to God. The importance of the human body cannot be overstated. And yet, we tend to abuse it, neglect it, and ignore our bodies. But God still wants to use it. It's because God wants to use our bodies that our own sinful nature wants to abuse it, neglect it, and ignore it. Earlier this year, I was walking up the stairs to do chapel. In fact, it was more around December and January, and I'd be in my office. I'd walk up the stairs real fast, walk up here, and I'm doing chapel, and the kids are all filled out here, when I got up here, I was out of breath. You ever get that way? Walk up the stairs and like, you can't talk. No, young people, no. You'll get there. And so you're out of breath. Well, I know because I had three stints before that. One when I was 50 and then another one when I was, 61. And about 3 years later, which was several years ago. Well, it was more, 5 years ago. And so this January or December, I think it was in January, I went and saw the doctor and I went to the cardiologist and I said, I need a stent. And he said, really? I said, yeah, I know my body. I know when I'm out of breath. I know when that, I know. Because my first doctor told me, however you know how you need something, it will always come back the exact same way when it deals with your heart. Some people are different. Some people get a feeling in their neck, others in their arms. I get it when I get winded. When I get winded going up an incline, I know I'm not getting the oxygen I need. I probably need another one of those big springs in my heart, opening it up. So I told him, I need that. He said, well, do you want a stress test or angiogram? I said, I don't want a stress test. That's a waste of time. I want an angiogram. And then while they're looking at my heart, they can just put the stent in. He said, okay. And I don't mind because the last two times they just go right up through my wrist. You're there for about 4 hours. It's like going to the dentist. It's no big deal. And you come out feeling well. So I got two more stents. So now I have five. And a week later, which, I'm healthy the day of. But the week later, I was doing the same thing, coming up my office, going up the stairs, walking up here, and I was still out of breath. So here's what I knew. My heart's okay. I'm just out of shape. I know that. My heart's good. But I'm out of shape. So I told my wife, I said, honey, I got to start walking. And so we started walking together. She's got her knees are hurting, but almost every day we're here. We're holding hands. We go around the college and it's about a 2 mile. Sometimes we go 3 miles and one day we did five because we did two different times in the day and we felt good. And it's a good time to hold hands and talk with each other and we enjoy that. But I found that I got to put forth that effort. As I get older, if I don't exercise, I get out of shape. This last weekend, Miss Vicky went to go see her sister, and I thought I'd surprise her, and I'm working on a project where I've got to dig in the yard and do a lot of physical labor, and I've been doing that for 10 hours a day, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And every bone in my body feels it today. We neglect our body. Why? You can neglect your body, but you're taking years off your life. And those are years where God could use you. And I've seen many Christians throughout the years, and many I've pastored that have neglected their body, and they're not going to live a long life if we neglect this vessel that God's given us. Now, I know people die healthy every day. I know that. Back years ago, Jim Fix wrote a book about running, and he was running one day, had a heart attack, killed over. Ran marathons. He died in the best of shape. That can happen to any of us. But that's at least God's timing for him. Let's don't hasten God's timing because we neglect our bodies. The Bible says we're to present our bodies to the Lord Jesus Christ for him to use. The Bible says as a living sacrifice. God is not only concerned with our spirit, but our bodies are to reflect God and his values for our life. As a believer, that living sacrifice means constant, continual sacrifice. We constantly affirm to live for God and to keep living for God all our lives. Oh, as the older I get, I want to stay faithful to the end. I've told the deacons one day, I'll be in there in a wheelchair, by the door, shaking hands with all the seniors that come in. And when I can't be in a wheelchair, just roll a bed up there and wipe the drool off my face. And let me say, hi, hi, hi. And just greet somebody. I got to be used of God some way. And that's a wonderful thing, to let God use our bodies and all of our lives, wherever and whenever He wants. We're here for His business. And I know we're doing so many other things, and that's fine. We got to live our lives, but realize we're here for His glory and to serve the living God. Our goal is not to follow the impulses of our flesh, our bodies, or our feelings. I don't feel like doing it. When I was a young kid, there were a lot of things I didn't feel about doing until my father gave me that look, and then I felt like it. Because if I didn't feel like it, he would let me feel other things. But follow God's word is His manner of living. So it's not based on what I like or dislike. When I started Grandview Baptist Church many years ago in the Carpenter's Hall, 36 and a half years, a little more, that first year especially, I'd have people come up to me and say, "Pastor, do you like Oregon?" I said, "Yeah, I like it pretty good." And they said, "You're not going anywhere, are you?" No. And they would keep saying, "Do you like Oregon?" Really, I had lived here for 12 years before I even looked around it. I was so busy in trying to start a church, I didn't have time. I didn't come as a tourist. I wasn't on vacation. And so it was probably 15, 16 years before I even drove around it once. It's awful pretty. Now I've done it 3 times since then just to enjoy it. But here's what I would say. I don't have to like it. It's God's will for my life. And the greenest spot in all of God's earth is right where God wants you. Right in the center of God's will. A few weeks ago I preached in Phoenix. And they would say, "Isn't it beautiful?" And I said, "Yeah, you know, it's brown, it's dark brown, it's light brown, it's red brown, it's brown, 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 brown. You don't mow your yard, you rake the dirt. It's just brown." But if that's where God wanted me, I would love it. All of our lives are God's, and He moves us like pawns on a chessboard. He moves us where He wants us. Years ago, our youth pastor at the time, Brother Steve Frost, to know him is to love him. What a great guy. He came into my office one time. He said, "Pastor," he said, "I've got a call from a church in Kentucky." I said, "Don't go there." No. He said, "I have a call from a church in Kentucky that wants me to come and try out to be their pastor." Okay. He said, "Now, if you say no, I'll just call him back and say no." Oh, everything inside of me was saying no. But I said, "Listen, Steve, you don't belong to me. You belong to God. And if God told me to go to Africa tomorrow, I'd be packing my bags today." I mean, the thing is, we are God's children and we have to live our lives under His direction. He said, "Well, okay, I'll go and try out, but I don't know that they'll even vote on me." I said, "Steve, if you go, they'd be crazy not to vote on you. Of course they're going to vote on you. Of course they want you." And by the way, he's taken over a church, a great church that had died down, and now it's blooming again, which I fully expected it to do. He's doing a great job. And I was telling our staff this last Monday, I was talking to them, I said, "But that's true of all of us, fellas. We don't belong to Grandview Baptist Church, and you certainly don't belong to Pastor Mike Mutchler. We all belong to God. And wherever God sends us, wherever God moves us, we've got to go. That's our marching orders." And what the Apostle Paul is saying here, present our bodies a living sacrifice. Why? Because we belong to Him. Whatever He leads, I'll go. I love that song. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Well, that's a wonderful truth, and we need to practice that. Living sacrifice. We use our bodies to serve the Lord. The Bible says acceptable. It means well-pleasing, approving, satisfying to God. God accepts and is joyful in seeing His children yield to His will instead of following their own will. He loves us. He loves it when we say no to our will in order to follow His will. That's what the living sacrifice is all about. Yielding our bodies is our reasonable service. The word reasonable, logikon, in Greek, it means rational, intelligent, logical. It's where we get the word is logical. A reasonable service, it's just logical. If we were hell bound and Christ saved us from our sin and from hell, it's just reasonable that we say, Lord, now I want to serve You with my life. That's reasonable. It'd be like if a millionaire, just multimillionaire, gave you $1 million. And then he's going to park his car. He said, by the way, do you have a quarter I could put in the machine? Don't bum off me. What do you want my money for? He just gave you $1 million. Give him $100 bill and say, keep the change. It's reasonable to be a blessing to people who have been a blessing to you. And God has been the biggest blesser of our lives. It's reasonable to yield our lives to Him for His glory, for His service. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So that's a reasonable thing. We yield our bodies to Christ for service, reasonable service. The Greek word there means to worship. It means ministry. To do God's business. We yield our bodies to do God's business. I was thinking about Vacation Bible School about a week and a half ago. And boy, how God blessed. Over 400 every night. But it took 130 adults and teenagers to be the workers to make it happen. And the good news is we always get more workers. So many people just volunteer, and what a wonderful thing. Earlier in the year, we had a great drama for Easter. We had 1,200 people come in three different showings. But it took over 100 people, the choir, the actors, the orchestra, the sound, the lights, the lives, all of the people involved together took over 100. Several years ago when we had our last big Easter outreach, it took over 400 of our people. We went to 30 different places, parks, locations throughout all of Metro Portland. We had 10,116 people showed up in those parks. We had 1,652 trust Christ as their Savior. But it took a lot of people. But you know what? They were glad to. They were glad to. People just volunteer. That's our reasonable service. Service. I want to serve God. I always think about Carrie and Bobby Lou Chapman. Wave your hand there, Bobby Lou and Carrie. God bless you there in the back there. Bobby Lou has lost a lung to cancer. Got another spot she's getting treatment on. But every Saturday I walk out of men's prayer breakfast and she's in the hallway around there with the vacuum cleaner. And she vacuums all of it. And I always stop and give her a hug. Sometimes she's out of breath. I've seen her when she's lost all her hair. Barely has the strength to stand up, but she's not leaning against that vacuum, she's pushing it. And I'd say, Bobby Lou, you need to go home. You need to rest. She said, Pastor, this is the way I serve God. It's the way I serve God. And that's what God wants out of us. He wants service. He wants us to serve God. About 5 or 6 years ago, my wife and I were on a cruise. I love cruising. Miss Vicki, not so much. I love it. I love the chocolate on the bed. I like how they make the towels into elephants and all the different animals. I love how they cater to you every whim. I love it. And so Vicki and I were on it, and we were talking to an elderly couple, and like we're not, but they were older. And they were older. Elderly is always someone older than you. That's the rule. And so he said, is this your first cruise? And I said, no, this is our sixth. He said, well, this is our 72nd. What, do you live on this thing? How do you do that? And I just couldn't fathom that. 72nd. I went back to our room. I'm thinking about it. And the next morning at breakfast, I said to my wife, I said, honey, I love cruising. But if I gave my life to that, what a waste of a life. I'm not here to vacation. Praise God for vacations. But I'm not here to just vacation. I'm here to serve God. And it would kill me to be on that week after week after week and get served, but never be able to serve. I want to be used of God. Now, go on your vacations. Enjoy that. I found about vacations about age 50. I wish I'd found it around age 30. But they're wonderful things. Go and do those things. But don't let that be your life. That would be a waste of life if all you did is just enjoy life. It's not here to enjoy. It's here to serve God. And it's our reasonable service to serve the Lord. And then we have the command not to conform to this world in verse 2. The word conform is the root word shema that comes from the Greek meaning fashion. It means outer form. The appearance of a man, the appearance of a woman, how we dress for physical labor is different than how we dress for a night out with our mates. A man looks different as a young man as he does as an older man. I'm not going to be 70 and wearing skinny jeans and spike my hair and do it green. Let all the young people do stuff like that, not me. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be 70 and try to look 30 or 20 or 15 just to impress somebody that I'm young. I'm young. And what the Bible says, be not conformed, it means don't fashion your life after the things of this world. We fashion our life after the things of God. If you chase fashion, you're going to be changing all the time. As soon as you buy the most fashionable thing, next month, it's something else that's popular. Now, I did say in the 8:30 service, keep your paisley ties. It always comes back. It always comes back. Never, just... And you ladies know you got stuff in the back of your closet. You think, it's going to come back one day. I know it. I know it. Right now, everybody has these outer sweaters that go over your dress and it goes down to your knees. And everybody's got to have those. But it won't be long that nobody will wear those. You put them in the back of the closet. They'll come back again. The fashion. Don't chase the fashion of this world. It seems that the very best of everything is pleasing to man, but to follow it unguarded leads to our own destruction. The fashion of this world is controlled by the prince and the power of this world, the devil himself. And you and I are to follow the prince of another world called heaven. And that's who we are to fashion our lives after as believers. In 1 Corinthians 7:31, "And they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." 1 John 2:17, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." James chapter 4, verse 4 uses very strong language. It says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Listen, and I know this world calls our name every day. "Come here, Mike. Come here, Sally. Come here, Sue. Come here, John." I know the world just calls us. Calls our depraved nature. Be like me, look like me, talk like me. But the Holy Spirit is whispering in our ears, let's live for God. Let's be pleasing to God Almighty. Let me say especially to you young couples, and not couples, but young adults, I should say, those in high school and out of high school, let me say it's going to be so easy to be swallowed up by the fashion of this world. All my friends do it. All my friends go that route. Everyone I know does this. I know. But remember, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that find it. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. It will never be popular to live for Christ. And if you're thinking everybody, the world's just going to love you if you live your life for Christ. No, no, it's just the opposite. And it's so easy just to slink and slide and fit in with the world. I'm going to look like them. I'm going to act like them. I'm going to talk like them. I don't want to be pegged a Christian. And yet that's exactly opposite what these verses are telling us. Be not conformed to this world. A lot of Christians are incognito Christians. They're undercover Christians. And you wouldn't know it until they come up and said, "I'm a believer too." "Really? I never would have guessed." "Well, I am. I just hide it." "Well, you've done a good job." When Christ has given His all for us, why are we ashamed to live for Him? The Apostle Paul says, "I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." The word transformed is talking about the real being of a man. Our nature, our essence of who we are. The Spirit of God wants to change us, not the outside, that's part of it, the fashion, but He wants to change the inside. You see, Christianity is like microwave. It starts from the inside out. Christ does a work. And then that work spreads till everybody can see it. By the way, give new believers time. It takes a while for everybody to see it. But He changes our heart, and then it changes every part of us. And eventually we start reflecting our Savior more and more and more. He talks about the daily renewal of our mind in verse 2. By the renewing of your mind, it means to be made new, to readjust, to change, to turn around, to be regenerated. The word regenerated means to be regened. We were one way, and because of Jesus Christ, we've been made totally a new way. We have been born again. We were regened because of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Let me share a few verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And finally, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us as believers, what are we to think on? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Listen, garbage in, garbage out. If you want to pollute your mind, just watch the news every day. People ask me all the time, what do you think about what's happening in Europe? I said, well, I don't know what's happening in Europe. Oh, all these floods. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know about it. You didn't hear about it on the news? I don't watch the news. I don't watch the news. I read the internet some, but I don't watch the news. Why? I want my mind to be clean. I know people will say, well, Pastor, let me tell you about so-and-so. I don't want to hear about it unless it's good news. The world has enough terrible news and terrible things happening. If you have some good news, come and share it. I want to hear that. If it hath any praise, think on these things. We have to protect our minds as Christians. The results of a transformed mind allows us to prove what is that good, which means beneficial, rich, bountiful, suitable, moral. What is that good? What is that acceptable, meaning pleasing, satisfactory, welcome, and perfect, which means without error or mistake, flawless, complete, absolute, free from any need, short of nothing, completely fulfilled. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. The will of God. That's our whole goal. We're His children. Our whole goal is to find God's will for your life and do it. Find God's will for your life and do it. Several years ago, I was playing in a golf tournament. For several years in a row, Columbia Bank would put on a golf tournament, and we are financed by Columbia Bank. At that time, we were the largest. We had the largest loan they had on record. That's not anything I wanted. And so they would invite us. Praise God, we're not anymore. We're paying down debt. And so I was there, and I got to play with several of the leaders of it. So I got to play with their CFO, Chief Financial Officer. And I'm playing with him. I'm talking. I mentioned I pastor over here. We're playing right across the street. He said, my wife and I, he said, when I retire in 2 years, Our goal is to go to the mission field about 6 months out of every year. He said, we've made money, but we really want to be full-time serving God. That's our heart passion. And we'll go to different fields, but just to serve God. Listen, God wants to use every single one of us. Find out the will of God for your life. Jump right in the middle of it. As I tell our staff and have told them several times, let's find out what God is doing and let's jump right in the middle of it. Don't ask God to bless your decisions. Get His marching orders and it's already blessed. Just jump right into it. Let God use our lives. In just a moment, we're going to have a word of prayer and extend the invitation. Maybe you're here this morning and you started out as a believer like that. You were gung-ho for Jesus. You know, this world has a way of cooling us off. This world has a way of pouring cold water on Christians that are red hot for Jesus. And maybe you're not anymore. But that still is God's plan for all of us. Be on fire for the Lord, to be serving the Lord. I hope that this morning every one of us will afresh and anew say, Lord, I really want you to use my life. I'm not much, I know it. But I really want you to use my life. Let's all let God use us as His Christians, as His followers. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the greatest decision you'd ever make is open up your heart to Jesus and invite Him in and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about placing your membership here. Last week we had three ladies join and the week before we had a couple join. But let me just say, wherever God leads you, that's the church you need to be in. And just serve God. Just find a place, plug in, and serve the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let God speak to your heart. Heavenly Father, we're just regular people who have yielded our lives to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, sometimes we get so caught up in the things of this world, we forget that you have greater plans for our lives. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that you will speak to us by your Spirit and help us to be so yielded that we would follow your will and follow your voice. And Lord, I pray that as a people, we could even rededicate our lives afresh and anew and say, Lord, I want your will. I want your way. I want to serve you with my life. And Lord, may that be a hunger in every heart. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, oh, that today they would open up their heart and ask you into their life, that they would trust you as their Savior. And Lord, whatever your will is, help us to obey. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. If God's speaking to your heart and there's a spiritual decision that Christ wants you to make, you can come and have a word of prayer around an old-fashioned altar or talk to any of our men and they'd be glad to pray with you. It's so important that we yield our lives to God. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Christians. And will you talk to Jesus about your life and what Christ wants to do in your heart? Would you yield yourself afresh and anew to God? God bless you. You may be seated. Only had two verses. I think, how long would we be here if I had six? I don't know. But it's a powerful truth, and I hope God will use it to speak to all of our hearts. Michelle Mack has come this morning to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and also to be voted in as a member here at Grandview Baptist Church. We praise God for Michelle, and we'll see that in just a minute. At this time, we're going to look at the next video with the announcements in it. So let's watch that, and then we'll see Michelle follow the Lord in baptism.
Good morning, and welcome to our service. We hope this morning's sermon from Romans was a blessing to you. Join us back here tonight at 5 as we continue our series on the book of Hebrews.
Mount Zion Baptist Teen Camp is August 2nd through 6th. The cost is $220, and that includes a camp shirt, activities, meals from Monday night to Friday morning, travel expenses, and more. It's for teenagers going into 7th grade up to high school graduates of this year. A sign-up sheet, camp brochure, and permission forms are available at the welcome desk. Also, if you would like to donate to camp or sponsor a teenager, please designate it on your giving envelope. For questions or more information, please see TJ Gardner.
Tonight there will be an overtime teen activity. We will meet in the gym to play kickball following the evening service. There will be cake afterwards. The activity will end around 7 p.m.
Families, you won't want to miss the last weeks of our Kids Summer Blast program on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. There will be fun games and a barbecue celebration for all the kids.
There will be ushers at the back doors if you would like to give your offering as you exit. If this is your first time here, you might have questions, and we'd be happy to answer those questions. As you exit the auditorium, look for guest services. We would love to meet you and give you a gift card. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you tonight at 5.
This is Michelle Mack. Michelle, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of His death. Raised in the likeness of His resurrection.
Amen. Amen. All in favor of receiving Michelle into the membership of Grandview Baptist Church, say amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Michelle. We're thrilled to have you and look forward to serving the Lord for many years to come. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here this morning. If you are a guest, we have a gift for you. I hope you'll take advantage of that. Also, tonight we are continuing in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. We hope to finish up chapter 11. This is our third sermon in chapter 11, and so hope to finish it up. And then continue to pray for the teenagers. They are going to go to camp, not tomorrow, but the next Monday, very early in the morning. And two Sundays from now, when they come back to camp, from camp, the Sunday morning service is going to be led by the teenagers. And so we'll hear their testimonies. Brother TJ will direct the service. It's going to be an amazing time as we hear what God has done in their lives, about 75 of them, and just amazing, and we'll certainly enjoy that. Well, God bless you, and be dismissed, and have a good afternoon.